Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Philippians 1, verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering here tonight. I ask that you would help me in preaching your word to be clear, to be filled with your spirit, to be a blessing to your people. And I pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we heard in the testimony tonight, the wisdom of the world tells us that we need to be quicker than the next guy. We need to have more wisdom than the next guy. We need to be more competitive. We need to make sure that we're looking out for old number one. The emphasis in the world today, the theme of the world's council, often revolves around self. It revolves around self-esteem. It tells us to think and grow rich. It teaches us the power of positive thinking and the power of psycho-cybernetics. Self-help, self-promotion, that seems to be the way of the world. But we learn tonight that God's ways are not man's ways. That our confidence is not to be in ourselves. It is not to be in our education. It is not to be in our experience. That we are confident, not in self, is tonight's message, but confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I speak to you for these few moments on the subject, serving Christ confidently. How can we live this life with confidence in the Lord? I want you to see three ways tonight that God desires for each and every one of us to have greater confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him. Notice first of all tonight that we are to be confident in Christ's work. Confident in Christ's work. Verse number 6 of our text tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The word confidence here means to trust. It means to be persuaded of this fact. And Paul's confidence was in much more than human hope. His absolute confidence in life came from the promise of God, the promise of God that he would not only save the Apostle Paul, but that he will enable him to live the Christian life. He spoke of it in Galatians 2 and verse 20 when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You see, his confidence was not in himself. His confidence was in Christ, his beloved Savior. Being confident, the Bible says in verse number 6. This is found in the perfect tense, meaning that Paul lived in a continuous state of confidence, in a continuous knowledge of the fact that that work which God had begun in him would continue on until he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:13 says it this way, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, when I think about Christ's work, I think of it in three ways, and I want you to see these tonight. First, we see that he is the originator of our redemption. He is the originator of our redemption. He hath begun a good work in you. Now, how many of you can remember the day that you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? I want you to recognize that he began a good work in you on that day. And I want to say that I thank God that he saved my soul on April the 5th, 1972. And that if there's any good thing about me, it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. That good work that began in you began at the moment of your salvation. A good and eternal work began because of the love of Almighty God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God." Jesus Christ, our Savior, made salvation possible. God is the originator of our salvation. God is the prime mover in the process of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave. And I thank God tonight that in eternity past, his heart was filled with love and that redemption plan was laid down. And that redemption plan included you and it included me. And God is the originator of our salvation tonight. And we ought to thank God that he began a good work in us when he saved our soul. The originator of salvation is God himself. But I want you to see, secondly, the operation of our redemption. For the Bible says, "He which began a good work in you," notice the next phrase, the Bible says, "will perform it." Would you say that with me, please? Will, say it again, will. So we had a beginning point. That's called salvation. That's called being born again. That's where when it all comes together, I'm a sinner, lost and without Jesus. And Jesus shed his blood as the only begotten Son of God. And he did that for me. And I turned to Jesus Christ and confessed to him, "I'm a sinner." And I asked him to come in and be my Savior. And there the originator of salvation begins a good work in me. But now the operation is underway. And it's called sanctification and the Christian life. It's called redemption. And how we thank God tonight that our redemption is made possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that began a good work in you and in me will perform it. I want to tell you something tonight. Even when you don't think he's working, he is. Even when trials come, he's still working. He's working a work of sanctification through trials, through sickness, through the high times, through the low times, through the revival meetings, through the times of repentance, through times of employment, through times of unemployment, through times of Bible reading and prayer. God is working out his salvation in each of us. And I thank God for the fact, and I'm confident of this fact, that he which began a good work in me will perform it. He will continue working in me. Oh, I'm so sorry for those days that I've resisted his work. I'm sorry for those times when I delayed in my obedience. But through it all, he's been patient to wait for me. And through it all, he's been working in my heart. And I'm confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in my life on April the 5th, 1972, is still working in my life tonight. And I bring glory and praise to him, because any good thing happening in my life is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. In salvation and in sanctification, he's doing his work in me. For we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God which hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so he has begun a good work, but he's still working that work in me. You see, salvation has three tenses to be considered. First, we consider the past. And we've been redeemed from sin's penalty. And how many of you thank God for that tonight? Then we consider the present. He is redeeming me from sin's power and continuously working in me by his word and by his spirit. Then I consider the future, and I am reminded of the fact that one day I will be redeemed from sin's presence, and I will leave this sinful world and this fleshly body, and I will be united with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And ultimate redemption takes place when I will see the Lord Jesus Christ, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, don't give up on God, because he certainly has not given up on you. And if you are truly born again tonight, he's working a good work in you. And so we see the originator of this great work is God himself. And we see the operation of this great work is called the Christian life, Christian growth, sanctification. But notice, thirdly, the outcome of my redemption. The outcome of my redemption. I want you to see it here. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? Until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Oft times the day seems long, life's trials hard to bear, but it will be worth it all when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the phrase there, will perform. This means that our God will execute, perfect, and complete His work. How many of you have ever seen the bumper sticker that says, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet? You ever seen that? How many of you would say, that's a good testimony of my life? But aren't you thankful too that He's still working in your life? He's performing that good work in you. He will perform. He will complete. God never does anything part way. He will get His work done in your life. And so tonight, we can serve Him with confidence, knowing that He is working in us. Confident, not in myself, not in my ability. Confident in my God to do a great work through me and to bring me unto that final likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see, secondly tonight, that as we traverse on this earth, that we must not only be confident in Christ, but we must be confident in God's plan for our lives. Confident in the plan of God for our lives. Now notice, if you would, in verse 7 what the Bible says. In verse number 7 of our text, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, what is God's plan for us in this world? If I might take a moment to synopsize it, I believe that God's plan for His people in this world is that we together would encourage one another in the context of the local church until that time when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is doing the work in us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but God is also using human relationships to nurture us, to encourage us, and to help us along the way. And here tonight we see a picture of a heart of a man of God speaking to the people of God at the local church called Philippi. And he's explaining to them the plan of God. And he's speaking about the relationship that he had with them. And we must recognize tonight the importance of spiritual relationships as a part of the plan of Almighty God. Turn, if you would, in your Bible briefly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. Hold to the book of Philippians for a moment. And just take a moment to look at another church from this same region and see here the plan of God as He uses human relationships in accomplishing His work. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul is rehearsing the work of God that he had experienced with them. And he says there, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now just for a quick moment, try to get this in your mind. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, he says, ye became followers of us. I've heard people in the past say things like this: I don't follow no man. I don't do what anyone tells me to do. I'm my own man. But God has not created us as born-again Christians to operate independently out in the desert on our own. He has created us in order that we might have body life in the local church and to learn from those who have been given the Word of God and been learned in the Word of God over a period of time. So Paul says that the church at Thessalonica followed him as he followed Christ. And he was directing them to the Lord Jesus and to the Word of God. Now then, as they followed the Apostle Paul's teaching, then they began to step out in their Christian life so that verse 7 says they became ensamples so that all the other churches around Macedonia looked at this church at Thessalonica and said, look at what God is doing there. I don't claim to be even worthy to take the shoe latchets of the Apostle Paul and tie his shoes, but I thank God for the fact that many of you since the early days have allowed me the privilege of teaching the Bible and giving some direction and challenging you in the Christian life, and that we have chosen to encourage one another and to follow God's plan, and that in following God's plan, there are some others tonight, even from Australia, who have said, thanks for the encouragement. Keep on keeping on. There's something working there that we can use. And I say to you tonight, it's to the glory of God when God's pastor and God's people work together in communion for the glory of God. Thank you, Brother Christian. Now, God's plan is seen in Thessalonica. His plan is seen in Philippi. And I want you to know that the devil tries to shake our confidence. Sometimes I meet people who've had a bad experience in a church. And they've been burned. And so they don't want to get involved in another church. I've met pastors, too, who have had terrible experiences and who do not want to pastor any longer. We've had numbers over the years come here for a time of healing. And a few are here tonight. And they've had some experiences. But I tell those who've been in churches and those who've pastored the churches the same thing. Yes, sometimes there's some bad experiences, but still we can be confident in the Lord that he which hath begun a good work might have even been using that burning, that difficulty to help us cling to the cross, to help us have a Christ-centered focus as never before. Now notice the cooperation here, the plan of God cooperating with one another. In verse 7 we see these words, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. The word meet means proper. Paul said, even though I'm in the prison here in Rome, it's proper for me to think about you. And we learn here of his mental disposition towards the believers at Philippi. And we think about the words to the song, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And we begin to think about the tie and the fellowship sweet that we have in the Holy Spirit. And we see those words that he writes here in verse 7. I have you in my heart. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth his brother abideth in death. Here we know that the Apostle Paul was of God in this context. He loved the brethren. And verse 7, he says, it's meet for me to think about you because I have you in my heart. Hey, this is Valentine's week, right? Fellas, just trying to help you. When is Valentine's Day? That's right. I took Terry out on Thursday, brother. I'm one of these guys. I'm going to take care of business and not wait and forget. Amen? And we had a nice dinner, a nice time together with my sweetheart. And I encourage you to do that maybe at the dinner series tomorrow. Amen? And you ought to express your love for your spouse. And I love my spouse. I love my family. But I love this church. I can say with the Apostle Paul, I have you in my heart. I can say that God does that work. I can say that pastors have the ability, I believe, to love people through the good and the bad times and to forget the bad times and look ahead for the next good times. Paul said, it's just meet that I would think about you. He said, I have you in my heart. One of the ways that I think about our church family and have people in my heart is by having lists of different people and different needs. I've got more lists. I've got them now computerized. Brother Schmidt got me hooked up on the new little computer program, Evernote. Man, he said, Pastor, you got to go paperless, you know. He's kind of an environmentalist, tree-hugging type of a guy, I guess. I don't know. And he's helped me with that. And I have a binder on my study desk, a list of every member of the church, and I pray for the members of our church, and I try to keep that list at the forefront of what I do through my week. I have a list that's given to me twice a week of everyone that's in the hospital that's a member of Lancaster Baptist Church. Somewhere along the way, I'll get a list of those who were not in church for a couple of weeks running, and then I have a list of folks that are having problems in their life, maybe legal problems and maybe having some court dates, and I try to help. And there are those that I have a list of those with some marital difficulty, and we try to do some counseling and try to help those with family needs, and there's the list of those with financial needs and those that may have a need even for some groceries or some assistance, and I try to stay on top of that. There's the list of visitors that came to church today and somebody needs to go back, and those that got saved and somebody needs to go back. And there's the list of our staff members whom I love and try to care for. And I pray for their health needs and I pray for their family needs and I try to counsel our staff members and love them. And there's the list of the missionaries and all of their requests that come in dozens a day. And all of the different lists that I have represent the needs and represent the care that I try to give. And tomorrow morning at 10:30, I'll do what I do every week of the world. I'll meet with our pastoral staff and I'll bring my lists. And I'll say, now I'll visit this one, and you visit this one, and you call that one, and here's one with a broken heart, and here's one with a broken car, and here's one that wasn't in church, and here's one with a broken relationship, and here's one with a broken heart. And I'm just telling you, folks, I may not be able to out-preach some preachers or out-organize some preachers, but by the grace of God, for 25 years, I've tried to love the Lancaster Baptist Church and tried to do my very best in this matter of just cooperating in the matter of cooperating from the heart. And Paul said, I want you to know I've got you in my heart, and I feel for you, and I'm praying for you. And tonight I'm saying that we ought to thank God for His plan, the local New Testament church. And notice, not only did He love them, but I want you to see, secondly, they loved Him. They cooperated in the ministry. Verse 7, He says, I've got you in my heart. But He says, in so much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, notice the next word, ye all are partakers of my grace. He said, even as I've got you in my heart, you all have me in your heart, and you're partaking with me in the ministry. Notice the phrase there, even in His imprisonment, they thought of Him. Notice it says in verse 7, both in my bonds. And this was the church as we saw last week, Philippians 4:14. Turn over there for a moment, chapter 4, and verse number 14. It says, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. This church, while he was in prison, sent offerings to him and sent care for him. Verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, hey, while I've been in jail, you sent Epaphroditus over here, and he brought the offering, and he brought some supplies for me. And he said, I've got you in my heart, and you've got me in your heart, and this is God's plan that we would work together. But not only did they help him in jail, but now notice the next phrase, interesting. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. I want you to picture this in your mind. Members of the church would go to the prison in Rome, and Epaphroditus, perhaps the pastor of Philippi, went and said, Paul, I want you to know we're praying for you, and the church of Philippi loves you, and here's some supplies for you. And Paul wrote and said, boy, that was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord, and thank you for worshiping God in that way. And they communicated their love to him. But then he got word that back in Philippi, they were involving themselves in something. Look at that in verse 7. In the defense and confirmation of the gospel. If you're taking notes tonight, the word defense there is the word apologia. Apologia, or apologetics, if you will. And we learn that what they were doing back in Philippi was they were standing up with a reasonable argument for the fact that Jesus Christ had died on a cross, and that he'd been buried, and that he rose again. And how it must have thrilled his heart that even though he couldn't be with them, even though he was in prison, even though they were in his heart, he couldn't be in Philippi, he got word that some soul winners were out telling about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that when the Stoics or the Epicureans or when those false religions would come and say, why, there's no such thing as the resurrection, that they were becoming apologists for the faith and standing up and declaring the truth. And that's God's plan, that we would encourage one another, that you as the church family would pray, God bless our preacher and help him to preach the word of God and the whole council of God, and that I would pray for you and equip you so that as you're out tomorrow and the next day, I might pray, God, help the church family to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Notice he says in verse 7, partakers of my grace. In other words, Paul was a spirit-filled man. They were spirit-filled people. All of them together were a part of God's plan. I have confidence tonight, not in myself, but in Jesus Christ working through me. I have confidence tonight, not in myself, but in God's Spirit working through us. And notice finally, I have confidence through the love of God's family, through Christian love. Jesus said something that always convicts me in John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I want to tell you something. You're not alone. When you think you are, I can guarantee who's jumping up on your shoulder and talking in your ear. Already in this brief sermon, I've reminded you that you're not alone because Christ is going to finish that work that He started when you got saved as an 18-year-old. He's not going to give up on you. He, my friend, is going to hold you in His hand and bring you to that promise. I'm telling you tonight, you're not alone because Jesus Christ, who began the work, isn't going to stop doing the work. Then I said a moment ago, the Holy Spirit of God, the grace of God, you are not alone tonight because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. But I want to say thirdly, you are not alone tonight because there are Christians who do care. They may not know everything you're going through, but they care and they have a heart for the people of God. I want you to see it in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The witness of His compassion was God Himself. God is my record. God is my record. Of what, Paul? Of how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The word bowels here is regarded as the seat of the emotions, the passions, the affections, the benevolence. He said, I, from the very depth of my soul, have regard and have love for you all. A real spiritual love is but a portion of Christ's love, which yearns to unite others to Christ and yearns to be a blessing to others in Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. The Apostle Paul said, I want you to know that there is a witness, and that witness is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know there's a fervency, and the fervency that I have is simply stated in the fact that I have you in my heart, and I long for you, and it's my desire to be a blessing. And I say tonight, have confidence in the fact that Jesus Christ is working, and He's going to keep working. And have confidence in the fact that God has a plan, and that is His Spirit working through us together as we strive together for the faith of the gospel, and have confidence tonight in Christian love. And yes, there are those who disappoint, but thank God there are still some Spirit-filled Christians who care and pray and want to be a blessing to the family of God. And oh, tonight, I just want to remind you of this simple fact. You don't have to serve negatively with your head down. You don't have to. You can, because, you know, happiness is a choice and obedience is a choice. But you don't have to go to work tomorrow singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I'm going to go to the garden and eat worms. You don't have to have the idea that nobody wants a gospel track and nobody wants to have you in their presence. You don't have to have that spirit. Why? You could actually go to work tomorrow with a spring in your step. You really could. Actually go to work tomorrow. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Hey, Sam, look forward to the meeting today. Good to see you. Did you have a good weekend? You could actually go with a confidence, not in yourself, not because you looked yourself in the mirror and told yourself how great you are, not because you've been listening to positive thinking tapes, not because you watched Joel Osteen. The reason that you can have confidence tomorrow, because your Savior is living within you. Amen. And He started something in you that He doesn't intend to quit. The reason you can have confidence tomorrow, there's some relationships in the local church. Someone's praying for you. Someone's thinking about you. Someone's on your side. The local church. The reason you can have confidence tomorrow, because even though you've been let down maybe by some others, there are still a few good Christians who know how to love and know how to care, who'd count it a privilege to try to be a blessing. I just want to encourage you tonight. Don't start your day tomorrow already acting like the devil's got the victory, because as we sang a moment ago, we're on the winning side. We truly are on the winning side. Shall we stand together?
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.